Hello, I'm Pastor Daniel Flukey from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Green, Iowa, and today is Sunday, August 30th, the 13th Sunday after Pentecost. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you remember last weekend's reading, Simon Peter appeared to be the perfect disciple, at least in that one. We heard this story about how the world had the wrong impression of Jesus, thinking he was just like one of those other ancient prophets. And the other disciples, they were silent and uncertain about who Jesus was. But when Jesus asked the question, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter spoke up. He knew the answer. He understood, "Lord, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Peter got it. And on this rock-solid confession of faith, Jesus declared he would build his church, and even the gates of hell would not prevail against it. And it had to be the best moment of Peter's life, right? What a great hero of faith. But that's not the end of the story. That's not even the end of the chapter. So here's today's reading from the Holy Gospel, according to Matthew, chapter 16, verses 21 through 28. Glory to you, O Lord. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord! This must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block for me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world, but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So as we continue into this week's reading, Jesus' identity as the Son of God is out there. And it says, from that time on, Jesus takes his teaching to the next level, and he starts talking about the cross, about what's going to happen to him, about his death. And Peter, who just seemed to have everything all figured out, Peter turns out to be totally misunderstanding Jesus' mission. Jesus is the Messiah. Peter's got that right. But that doesn't mean what Peter thinks it means. Still, though, Peter's recognition of Jesus is an important turning point. He knows who Jesus is. He knows Jesus' identity. And that matters because the cross where Jesus is going only makes sense in connection with knowing Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Otherwise, without that information, without that identity, the rest of the story is just some guy dying, executed by the state. Only if Jesus is the Son of God, God in the flesh, God with us, does the cross matter for us today. But Peter's not there yet. All he's hearing is that the one he thought was the Messiah, the one he was so sure was the Son of God, is now talking about suffering and dying. I'm not even sure he hears the last part. He understood the first part, Jesus is the Son of God, but he can't grasp what that means. His picture of God's glory does not include a cross. When Peter thinks of sacrifice, when he thinks of giving up something, he thinks of us giving up something to God, not God giving up God's self for us. He's looking for a savior to defeat the evil powers in this world, to rescue him, to rescue the people. He He's not looking for someone who's going to be subject to the same powers of evil. And so he takes Jesus aside and begins to rebuke him. God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you. The rock turns into a stumbling block. And it's easy, I think, for us today, looking back, to shake our heads at Peter for not getting it. We would never do what Peter does and rebuke Jesus for talking about dying, right? We all know better. If there's one thing we all learned in Sunday school, it's that Jesus died for our sins on the cross. It's at the heart of our faith. And yet, we keep doing the same thing as Peter. We keep trying to fit God into our own box, into our own image of what a Messiah or a Son of God should look like. We keep trying to understand Jesus as an earthly leader, a politician, or a warrior, rather than as a suffering servant. We want him to meet our expectations. We want to protect Jesus, protect him from the dirt, keep the church clean, keep our Lord somewhere safe, somewhere away from the junk, the muck in our lives. And yet the message of the cross is that Jesus can take the worst that this world can throw at him. Christianity's unique proclamation is that God, the almighty, eternal creator of the world, has entered into the mess of our world, entered into the muck of our lives. And that's good news. We don't need to protect Jesus. He wants to come in and shine light into the darkest shadows of our lives. Peter tries to protect Jesus from himself, but Jesus' whole mission as the Messiah is to take the worst that humanity can dish out. Jesus is not some professor teaching about God from an ivory tower. He's not a politician jetting in to say how she'll fix all of our problems and then leaving again. He's Emmanuel, God with us, the Word made flesh dwelling among us. He's the good shepherd who comes to live among the flock, who lays down his life for the sheep. So what does it mean to follow a leader like that? What does it look like to be a disciple of a God who's willing to enter into this messed up, broken world, willing to undergo great suffering and be killed and then be raised? Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life?" To follow Jesus means to take up a cross. It means to deny ourselves, to give up our own desires for power, for wealth, for authority, and instead, to take up a symbol of powerlessness, a symbol of humiliation, a means of execution. The cross is not a nice thing. The cross means that we identify not as a ruler or a conqueror or a judge, but rather we identify with the suffering, the imprisoned, the powerless. It's not an easy call we have to follow. Following Jesus means seeing both God and the world through the lens of the cross, which is a very different lens than the one the world gives us. And the world's lens, that human perspective, can look pretty tempting, especially in these next couple of months coming up. The world and the media in our country are going to tell us to interpret everything through a lens, a human lens, of fear and competition. And if you watched any of the last 2 weeks of the political conventions, you know what I mean. I didn't watch very much of either party. I watched a little of both, but I saw enough. Even if you don't pay attention to party politics, you know the message. It's all about stopping the other side. the horrible things that are going to happen if those people get their way. It's all about getting our side into power. Sisters and brothers in Christ, that is not our call. I believe there can be good done through politics, don't get me wrong. I believe the government can and should do good to protect and serve people. I believe God works through Christians who are called to work in government. God bless them. Thank God for them. Pray for them. Do your homework. Pay attention. Pray. Vote. But remember that as Christians, as disciples of Jesus, we view the world not through the human lens of power and politics, but through the lens of the cross. What we value is different than what the world values, because we're called to interpret everything through that cross, through the lens of the God who came and suffered for us. What good does it do to gain all the power and authority in the world and to lose your life? And even many Christians fall into this trap. It's a lot more attractive, isn't it, to declare ourselves the chosen people, the ones with the right answers, the ones set apart by God, the holy nation of Scripture, than to recognize that we are set apart, yes, but to be God's hands and feet in the world, serving. We're called not to take up power, but to give it up, to serve the outcasts of society, the people villainized or ignored or shamed by the world. We are called to take up the cross, not to take up wealth or nationalism or the flag, not to take up slogans or fame or any of the other things this world says are so important, but to take up the cross, a symbol of humiliation transformed into love. The cross is the proof God is present with us in the muck, in the unexpected places, in the deepest depths of our suffering, present in all of human existence. This kind of faith will lead to opposition. The powers of this world do not like their values being ignored, or worse, challenged. People will get upset when our faith doesn't stay in its lane, when Jesus doesn't stay confined to the power of the church, to the walls of the church building. Remember, Jesus' message was offensive and challenging enough for his enemies to kill him. Putting the humble way of Jesus ahead of your job, ahead of your country, ahead of your family even, that's controversial. The path of Jesus, the path that we are called to follow, leads through the cross. But also, don't miss the last part of what Jesus began to show his disciples. He must go, he says, to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering and be killed, and on the third day be raised. The cross is essential, but it's transformed. Through the cross, there is life, there is freedom, there is hope. Not in the things of this world, but in the failure of this world's priorities. Death is not the end of the story. Jesus suffers for the world, but the suffering does not get the last word. The cross leads to resurrection, which means that the call to us to take up the cross is also a call to resurrection. Resurrection and hope and life for you and for me. God is at work transforming us. And what does that transformed life, that cross-shaped life, look like? What changes for us when we see the world through the lens of the cross? When our understanding of God starts with God's suffering on the cross out of love for the world? What changes? Well, look at Paul's instructions to the Christians in Rome in our other lesson for today. This is from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. Paul writes, "Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink, for by doing this you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you call us as your people to take up our cross and follow you. And yet there is so much in this world that we are tempted to value more than you, so much else that we want to pick up. By your Holy Spirit, give us faith to trust that the life you have for us is better than anything this world can offer. Lord, help us to use our time in this world for good, not for evil, but to overcome evil with good, to do your work. Thank you for the cross, for your coming to dwell with us and your promise to be present with us always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.